I understand. In the 40s and 50s, though, they didn't have a public defender's office. So people were just appointed.
Oh, indeed. They had a list. Mm-hmm. And we were paid. Well, one time I had, that was in the 40s. Bill Olson and I were appointed to defend our. Was that Bill? At any rate, maybe he was appointed to a different case. I don't remember, but we went to Glen Allen. Mm-hmm. And we went to all these houses where all this was supposed to have happened, talked to neighbors and friends of this kid. My client was Vasily Jackson. And by the way, he came in to see me, B-A-S-I-L-E.
Thank you.
It was a native boy up there. And they had gotten drunk during the night. And he tried to get into this lady's house. And she was not much of a lady. She slept with everybody along the road, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a 2-year-old baby. The rest of her children were in foster homes.
Mm-hmm.
And but Vasily finally got into her house, and she shot at him, and there were holes in the door. But he grabbed the baby and ran down to the river. Threw the baby in the river.
Why?
He was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
What? And so my son was then 2 years old. And I was appointed. Somebody told me on the street I wasn't in court that day. And
mm-hmm. How did it work? Did they tell you in the day? At the beginning of the day? Or?
Oh, during the... Sometime during the day, I met somebody on the street, mm-hmm. the clerk of court, I think it was. She said, you've been appointed to defend this guy.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh my God, we're throwing a 2-year-old baby in the river. How could I take that, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, it's my duty. I'll go talk to him. So I went to see the young man. In jail, he says, no. He says, I love little children. I couldn't do that. So I took the case. And I was more or less convinced that he wasn't guilty, but of course he was entitled to representation in any event.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Had the baby died?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it had died.
They found the body down the street. So anyway, Bill Olson and I went to Glen Allen. The first thing we did was get the wrong house. Took pictures, you know. It was across the road from where we were. We found out later in talking to his relatives and friends around there. And they did find blood on his jacket. And... where the blood came from, I don't know. He said it was in a dog fight.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to separate some dogs. And, so anyway, we finally found the right house, got the right pictures and so on. And, so then we tried the case. Vasily was convicted. Oh, I met the nicest man. He was a U.S. Marshal in Copper Center.
Mm-hmm.
Copper Center is where this happened.
Just, so not Glen Allen.
Just a little village down the highway from Glen Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was... U.S. Marshal, had been for years.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little guy. real nice. And on cross-examination, I asked him, no, I think it was redirect or something. At any rate, he had testified that this young man had a bad reputation around the area when he was drinking. Mm-hmm. So I questioned him about the bad reputation. I said, who have you talked to? Who said bad reputation? All that line of stuff, you know. Well, he was nonplussed, sort of. He couldn't answer, you know. So I think later that evening we had a drink together at the hotel, and he said, boy, you really got me there. He said, I'm not going to do that again. But at any rate, this young man was convicted, second degree, mm-hmm. and given 25 years. So at that time, we had visiting judges, and Judge Falta from Juneau was here. And whenever a visiting judge was here, Judge Diamond would go over across the street on 4th Avenue to the Lathrop Theater on top. And they had a makeshift courtroom up there, and hold his court there. So I had moved for a new trial or something. Yeah, new trial. I had some reason. And so Judge Diamond and I met at the courthouse, and we walked across the street together. And on the way, he was telling me about the Copper Center Indians. So he grew up in Valdez and lived there a long time. He said, they're fine, fine people. And he said, they, but he says, when they start drinking, he says, they go berserk. Mm-hmm. And he told me about the time that, I guess it was a case he had or something. This lady was visiting with this other couple. She was preparing dinner, and they were drinking. And, some reason or other, the guest came into the kitchen and something developed. At any rate, she just took a carving knife and went right around his middle and killed him. Oh, well, he says that they can do anything when they drink. I've lost my...
Oh, you're going across the street to the Lathrop building because Judge Fulton
had the courtroom. And we were going across to the other courtroom.
Right. So where was Judge Falta's courtroom?
Oh, he was from Juneau.
But when he was in Anchorage, where did he hold court?
In Judge Diamond's courtroom. Judge Diamond always gave his courtroom to the visiting judge.
Where was Judge Diamond's courtroom?
In the old federal building.
On the old, so there was an old federal building.
Well, it's still there. Kind of a nice courtroom. With panels and, you know, I just kind of loved it.
The mural?
Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. So when you were here, there was a courtroom, and there, you weren't always on top of the Lathrop building.
Oh, no, that was just temporary.
That was.
When we had visiting judges here, because Judge Diamond always gave his courtroom to the visiting judge, and then he would hold court over there.
What was the Lathrop Building's courtroom like?
Oh, it was adequate. That's about all I can say.
So at most there were only two places to hold court in town. Is that right?
Well, other than the commissioners.
Where was the commissioner?
It was in the federal building as well.
It was. What was Judge Falta like?
A very interesting character. He was tough on criminals. And Bill Renfrew, being a criminal lawyer, Well, at first, the criminal lawyers or the defense lawyers didn't like Fulton because he was pretty tough.
Yeah.
And then Renfrew liked to argue with him. He says, "I just love him."
In court?
In court. Then we have more fun.
You really arguing with Fulton? Do you remember the cases?
Not really. I don't remember them. You know, they were just an aside, really.
Mm-hmm.
But Judge Fulton was a good judge, really. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then we couldn't disqualify judges like you can now, because he'd have been disqualified, I think, on every criminal case that came before him.
Why was he so hard on criminals?
I guess he didn't like them. I don't know. Well, that was the reputation. I think he was a pretty fair judge, really. I appeared before him a few times. Once, I think it was a rent control case. It was something with the federal government. It had to be rent control because he wasn't. I don't know when he became a judge. You know, I don't have these records.
Yeah.
And, but he, told me once, he stopped me in my argument. He says, "You're arguing elementary law," which I was. But it was a new federal law, you know, and I wanted him to be sure to know what it was all about. So I knocked that off and went on about my business, you know. No, Judge Fuller was a fine man, really. He loved to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I think he died on a hunting trip, as I recall.
Yeah, I think I've heard that too. Mm-hmm. Hunting bears?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Something like Justice Douglas, really. You know?
Yeah, that kind of
outdoor
mm-hmm.
type. And
yeah. Was Cy Helenthal around when you were here?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I remember you had a case in front of him, and he didn't, you know, he took you through your...
Oh, I went through all the elementary law on that one, too.
Yeah.
And he commended me later.
Mm-hmm. Was he a good judge?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, he was a pretty good judge. You know, he was only here about 2 years when I was here.
Mm-hmm. Was he in private practice after that, or...
Yes, in Juneau. He went back to Juneau.
Yeah.
I think, what was it, the administration changed or something?
That would make sense, sure.
See, the judges up here, district judges up here were appointed for 4 years only.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were reappointed or somebody else was appointed.
Yeah.
So Judge Diamond succeeded him. And that isn't right either. Administration did not change. I don't really remember what happened to Cy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he quit. I don't remember. Because
yeah.
Judge Diamond then succeeded him.
Mm-hmm.
And Cy Helenthal told me one time we were walking down the street and he said, you know, it was in April. He said, "April is our worst month in Anchorage." He said, "The snow is going away. It's breakup time." He said, "All the debris is showing. The trees don't have their leaves yet." And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's very true.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like to go outside in April.
Well, I hope it doesn't.
Oh, there's another Copper Center story.
Okay.
It was... A man was accused of murder, killing his wife's lover. They had a potlatch
mm-hmm.
in Chitna. And they were all in tents. It was a big gathering, you know. So this guy came back and found his wife with her new lover, and so he shot him. So I went to Chitna. They lived all between the highway and Chitna. Mm-hmm. And I went into her house, and I talked to her. She said, I don't want him back. I don't want him. Don't want him around. He's mean. Mm-hmm. And she had a real neat, clean house. And then I talked to other natives. Some of them weren't so clean. Some of them I couldn't hardly stand the odor while I talked to them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he was a mean man. Nobody liked him. She had not been sleeping with this guy, they said. At any rate, I think Bill Olson was with me on that case. That was another appointed case.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked him into pleading guilty. And I don't remember what his sentence was. But...
were there a lot of cases that were out, like in Chitna and Copper Center, that were referred down to Anchorage?
Well, all felonies were,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah. So all the bush areas, how far did it extend?
Well, it was the third judicial district.
Did you get a lot of cases from out in the bush?
Oh, I wouldn't say a lot, but a certain amount, you know.
Did you have to fly out to any of your cases that you were...
Oh, I flew to Homer one time. That's another funny story. I got a wire from this lady in Homer. Wanted me to come down and represent them. Well, I didn't know them. You know, they'd pay my expenses and so forth.
Yeah.
But I hadn't been to Homer, so I thought, I'll go down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I flew down there. And that's when I met Ben Waters, whom I later married.
Yeah.
And he was bailiff in the court. Oh, this is a tremendous story, really, if I could tell it right.
Mm-hmm.
They were homesteaders, she and her daughter. In fact, she wrote a book, The Wilderness Homesteaders.
Mm-hmm.
And... there were three veterans that accused her of threatening them with a gun. Well, her story was that she and her daughter were out picking berries, and there were bears in the area, so they always carried a gun. It was way east of Homer, out in the boondocks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they... she's a little tiny gal, you know, about 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter was a little taller, but she was. And these guys, three of them were big strapping. And we had the trial in the theater in Homer before the commissioner. It was a new commissioner. It was his second trial he'd ever had. He didn't know any law.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben knew a little bit of law. He was taking a course in, what is it, this?
University?
No, this outfit that they don't do it anymore, but they do. Anyway, it was a correspondence course. So I knew it no more. At any rate, I warned my client not to. Oh, yeah, and these homesteaders got Bailey Bell down as special prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to make a point of this little bitty woman threatening these three great big strapping young men.
Yeah.
We had a jury. And The place was rather packed, you know. A trial in Homer was something, you know. So I told her that Betty will needle you, because he was good at that. And he said, he'll try to get you confused. So I said, just keep your cool. I maybe didn't put it that way, but...
Yeah.
But anyway, he really got her confused, and she started blowing off, you know. So I asked for a recess. Was denied. I wanted to calm her down, you know. Mm-hmm. And then Ben Walters whispered to the magistrate. So then he granted the recess. So I got her calmed down. So we went back into trial, and all he did was put her under a peace bond. I had no books, no form books, nothing. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any law library there, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to try to draw up a peace bond. Borrowed a typewriter, and I drew up something. Oh, it's worthless, really. It's a... I wish I had the statutes here, and I don't, but... It's a bond that you... If you violate, you're in contempt of court or something.
Okay.
That you can't bother these people or something. So... At any rate, I drew the damn thing up, and she signed it, mm-hmm. or the judge signed it.
Yeah.
And I later became friends with the judge. He was ran a big store there.
What was his name?
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
So, then they had, of course, they were still disputing this homestead.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they went to a land office. In fact, this lady had worked for the land office here in Anchorage for a while. And then she, but these homesteaders said that they're, homestead was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether they had a patent or not. I don't think they did. They were working on it. Well, that isn't going to work. At any rate, we had a hearing. No, we didn't have a hearing. We made an application or something. And this hearing officer here ruled against them without a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So I appealed.
Yeah.
And they ruled from Washington that we were entitled to a hearing.
Yeah.
By that time, the homesteaders had absconded. So I advised my clients, they hadn't done it properly. They hadn't properly staked or whatever, something they hadn't done.
Mm-hmm.
I said, do it. So I guess they got squared away, I don't know. But it was a most interesting experience,
yeah.
You know?
So by the time... You heard about it, the three guys were just gone.
They were gone. I didn't think they'd stay anyway. You know, it was a rugged life out there.
Mm-hmm.
All this hullabaloo and money and, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I guess these people got to keep their homestead. Finally, I don't know. Because the mother died and the daughter got married and moved to Valdez, so... I haven't seen her, I don't
Were there any lawyers in Homer at all when you were there?
Oh, yes. Been dead too for quite a while. Oh dear, what was his name? Ben studied under him in this, his correspondence course. You had to have a sponsor or something.
Yeah.
And,
I can let you think about it
and ask for some other time. He drank quite a bit. Mm-hmm. As most of them did. And then there was McNeely in Salovia, Bob McNeely.
Uh-huh.
I knew him real well. And I would say he was a better lawyer drunk in the courtroom than many of them were sober. Really, he knew the law. Bob was from Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a wife, Mary, and a whole bunch of kids. And Bob was not allowed to drink at home. But he'd go over to Homer and get drunk. He drank a lot, too. He died maybe, let's see, only 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
In any event, they finally moved to Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to go, but his wife, Mary, wanted to because she wanted better schools for the kids. I don't know what's happened to the kids, or Mary either. She was a real nice lady. I had dinner with them one time in Fairbanks. Very lovely lady. The
yeah.
kids were beautifully behaved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob was, well, he was a damn good lawyer, but he was on the booze.
Mm-hmm.
When he came to Anchorage, he was drunk half the time, you know.
Were most of the lawyers? Were most of the lawyers at Prince Town? But was it a harder drinking bar than it is now?
I would say so, yes.
Was it kind of expected? I mean, was it just the atmosphere then?
I don't know. Alaska was a hard-drinking country in those days,
mm-hmm.
you know?
So was it just part of the environment? I mean, you lived in Alaska, and it wasn't so much that you were a lawyer. How about you?
Not necessarily, but they did drink a lot.
Mm-hmm. Did their clients expect it? Did?
Well, you know, really, you didn't drink. Most of them didn't drink when they were going to be in court or when they were working.
Yeah.
But they were hard drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one story about George. I don't know if I told you this or not. Maybe I did. He was representing a client accused of murder, I guess, or at least he shot somebody. Whether the guy died or not, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he did. But anyway, it was a felony charge.
Yeah.
So, Judge Diamond set the case for trial. This was in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And so George came into court and he says, my client's drunk. I can't bring him in here. So they put it off for a week. And a week later, George was drunk and couldn't be there. Can you imagine that today?
No way.
So Judge Diamond put it over. You know, today, man, they'd be both brought in court for contempt, you know?
Yeah. Did that happen very often? Or was it just George?
Well, George was unique, really. I can't say it happened very often,
yeah.
But it's just one of the things I remember, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why I remembered it. It didn't happen all the time,
yeah.
Or I'd forget it, you know? But it was so funny. First his client was drunk.
And George was
Then George...
Did George come in himself, or did someone just come in and say George is a drunk?
I don't remember now. Yeah. I think somebody came in. Because everybody kind of looked after George, you know. He was our pet, really.
Was he?
Oh, yeah. Everybody just loved him because he was so funny and such a good lawyer. He was a marvelous lawyer.
Yeah.
But
he and Renfrew seemed to be the kind of...
Outstanding.
Well, yeah,
yes, they were.
All the stories
yeah.
we told about he and Renfrew.
Well, I about run out of steam. What
okay.
more do you need to know?
I think you probably told me most of what I need to know. Wait, I just wanted to ask you one last question. And I warned you I was going to ask you. It's just the question about the kind of changes that have happened over the time. That you can see in the bar, the trends. If any.
Well, the bar is much more professional than it used to be. They do a lot of things.
What do you mean?
Well, it's organized, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be just a... Like, I went to some of the Fairbanks bar luncheons.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were just segregated deals. In fact, I was a member of the junior bar in the States, you know, before
mm-hmm.
I came up here.
Yeah.
And I tried to organize it. In fact, I did organize the Anchorage bar into a junior bar.
Mm-hmm.
All those under 36?
Yeah.
And we took up, we had imposed fees, $5 I think it was, for stationery and, you know, we were going to organize a junior bar in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now Clasby was, you've heard of Clasby.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the younger members of the Fairbanks Bar.
Uh-huh.
So I talked to him about organizing a junior bar. He wouldn't have any part of it. Nope, he wanted a state bar association. I said, that's fine, but we're not ready for that. Let's have a junior bar.
Yeah.
It didn't go.
Was this in the 40s?
I think so.
Yeah. Did anybody else want a state bar? Or was there always the 40s?
Oh, I think there was conversation about it. Yes,
yeah.
Because it did come about, what, 54?
Mm-hmm. 54, 55,
yeah,
around there.
So there was, but at this time, and we organized this bar here, junior bar, we had a party at Ed Davis's house. Ed Arnell was another one.
Mm-hmm.
Ed was there. Oh, he was, I don't know if he, no, he came after I did. But shortly after.
Yeah.
And I remember he cooked the chicken dinner.
Yeah.
And the only other woman that was there was Evelyn McCutcheon. And I don't know how she happened to be included, but which was fine with me. I love Eva. And we all got drunk. Ed's wife was out of town early. That wouldn't have happened. So I don't know. It just kind of dwindled out, you know?
Mm-hmm. With the organized bar in 55, was there a change?
I think so, yes. Oh. It became more professional, you know.
More distance between the lawyers?
Pardon?
Was there more distance between the lawyers?
I wouldn't say so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, they got more together, you know?
When you say more professional?
Well, organized, you know, doing things that should be done.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things? The bar exam, is it?
Well, that's part of it. The ethics, the
disciplinary procedure.
Disciplinary, yes. And then it got started. One time I was, Dave Talbot was head of this disciplinary committee, and I had a trust fund where I deposited, you know, mm-hmm. clients' funds. And this one client, I had $60 that I owed him, and I couldn't find him. Mm-hmm. He was gone. So he reported me to the Bar Association. So Dave Talbot wrote me a letter. Uh-huh. And I said, for God's sake, give me his address. I don't know where he is.
Yeah.
So I immediately sent him the money. I mean, I didn't want it, mm-hmm. you know. So that took care of that. And, you know, Mrs. Dickerson, mm-hmm.
Babe. Are you talking about Mahela?
Mahela. Mm-hmm. We usually got along real well. When she first came, she had a chip on her shoulder that wouldn't quit, you know. Uh-huh. Everything was racial prejudice.
Yeah.
Well, she kind of got over that. But then she had a young man when I was judge. A nice-looking young attorney working with her. Mm-hmm. And one day we had motion counter, and it was a stack of files, yay high, you know. And I was going through them, and I always pulled out the attorneys and called on the attorneys first.
Yeah.
And then her young man was, I think I was late in court that day because I couldn't get through these files fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so she took me before the Judicial Disciplinary Committee, or whatever they call it,
uh-huh.
because I called on him last. Well, you know, she said he was there first.
Did she consider that racial prejudice?
I guess, yeah. Of course, nothing came of that. And the next time I saw her, she was very cordial, you know.
Yeah.
He's quite a gal. She's done very well. She became a pretty good attorney.
Mm-hmm.
When she first came up here, all she could quote was jurisprudence, American jurisprudence, you know.
When did she come up? Was that in the mid-50s?
Oh, it's a long time ago. I don't remember. It must have been. Because she homesteaded up in the Palmer area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's working out of, I don't know.
Yeah.
But she was working out of Eagle River for a while. You ought to talk to Mahela.
Oh, I will.
It's a fascinating character.
Why there were so many problems in the mid-50s to mid-60s between the court and the bar? Were there?
Well, McCary was not a very popular judge.
Uh-huh.
And the bar, well, he just barely passed the bar recommendation.
Yeah.
And by one vote, I think.
Were you there for that?
No, I was not there. I wasn't served at the time. Well, I think. Well, I, or either Juno or Sir.
Yeah.
It was in the Eisenhower mm-hmm. administration. So I was probably in Juno.
Mm-hmm.
And I know who cast the deciding vote. It was Ed Davis. Because he, he just didn't want to vote against Mac.
Mm-hmm.
We all sort of liked Mac, but we didn't think he was judicial quality.
Mm-hmm.
And, or the bar didn't. But he squeaked by that. So then, a few years later, the bar started a thing against him to get it. Well, when his reappointment came up. Mm-hmm. And that was quite a stir.
What happened?
He was reappointed. But he didn't treat the attorneys with very good grace, really. I think he was mad because so many of them were against him. Mm-hmm. And when this came up, I know I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
His reappointment came up, so I wasn't involved in that. But for a while, he didn't treat me very well, I didn't think. In fact, I had a divorce case, came to Anchorage, was representing the man. Mm-hmm. I often represented men, you know?
Uh-huh. Why?
Well, they told me that they thought maybe I could understand the woman better than a man lawyer or something. But I often did.
Yeah.
And at any rate, we came up here. This man's wife ran off with the truck driver, left her husband and her, I think he was about 16-year-old boy. Gee, there was just nothing in her favor. She didn't contest the divorce. I think she agreed to it. We still had to have a hearing, and at that time we had to have a witness as to the residency.
Mm-hmm.
And this man was born in Seward, old-timer, you know, his parents were there. And she just plain abandoned him and the child. What the heck happened? I don't know, there was some interruption in the case, and I asked for continuance for a couple of hours. We had to run down another witness, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mac McCary, we always called him Mac, you know.
Yeah.
And he, gave the house to the father and the son. Half and half, you know?
Why?
Beats me. Father was a good guy. He would have taken care of this boy. But at any rate, I was annoyed because my client wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
Neither was I.
Yeah.
And he treated me badly in many ways. And I finally got to the point I thought, I'm not doing justice to my client if I'd taken before this guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then suddenly he became real good.
Why do you think he changed?
I have no idea. But I know early when he was a judge, I went into his office one time to talk to him about something. Chambers, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And called him Mac.
Yeah.
You know, I was so used to calling him Mac that I didn't apologize, but I knew the minute I'd said it, I'd done something wrong. But I don't know if that set it off or not.
Yeah.
He was very, very, conscientious about being the judge, you know. I should have said Judge McCary, you know.
So you're going to tell me, was that what started this whole trend to getting an integrated bar court bar?
No, I don't think so. I don't.
That they disliked McCary and they wanted to have more control over?
No, I wouldn't say so.
No, that's not it.
I don't think that had much to do with it, but Of course, I was out of touch with the Anchorage Bar, really, when I was in Seward. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd see them when I came up here, you know, yeah. See some of them, but
yeah.
I wasn't really with them.
Uh-huh. So you really can't tell about why they finally got a statewide bar in 55?
Oh, I just think it was coming. It should have been, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many lawyers up here then.
I heard some talk that after they did get the statewide bar, that there were some practices to keep some of the lawyers out. That there were practices to keep the number of lawyers that came in down.
Oh, that's always a story, you know. I don't know.
Do you think it's true or false and unimportant?
I suppose there are some that felt that way, but I don't think on the whole it was true, really.
But you
because I think if anybody's qualified, they should be admitted.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't make it, so be it, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, they're going to take some practice away from the ones that are here, but geez, in Alaska, I'm sure there are some lawyers here that are having a difficult time because there are so many now. But well, some had a difficult time before, you know.
In all the time you've been here, maybe taking the earlier look, did you ever see the trend?